Hello. My name is Scott Erskine. I'm pleased to be your announcer today. Before we start, please turn off any noisemakers on your electronic devices. Welcome to the Cupertino Symphonic Band's 2016 Children's Concert. The conductor of this wonderful band is Jason McChristian. We thank you for coming and hope you enjoy the concert. The Muppet Show was an Emmy, Grammy, and Peabody Award-winning comedy variety television series produced by puppeteer Jim Henson. It first aired in 1976 and has since spawned a spin-off cartoon, 10 movies, and its newest incarnation, The Muppets Tonight, is currently on ABC. Speaking of which, my grandchildren recently made their television debut on this new show. On an upcoming episode, if you look close while Kermit the Frog is sitting on a park bench, you can see my grandkids Desmond and Avriel under a tree about 75 feet away. The Muppet Show theme was written by Jim Henson and Sam Pottle. It was the original show's opening and closing theme and performed by the Muppets themselves. Wait and see if Animal drops in to join us in the percussion section this afternoon. This is the Muppet Show theme. John Williams is the most decorated composer in modern history, with 36 Academy Award nominations under his belt, including 5 wins. He wears a huge belt. In career spanning over 6 decades, Williams has composed some of the most recognizable film scores in cinematic history, including Jaws, E.T., Superman, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, and Star Wars. It stands to reason that Williams would have been approached to compose themes for the Olympic Games. In an interview, Williams said, "I remember seeing a photograph of a female athlete suspended above the ground, every fiber of her being stretched for a ball just beyond her reach, captured in a shot, freezing time and defying gravity. There is unquestionably a spiritual, non-corporeal aspect to an athletic quest such as this that brings us close to what art is all about." The band will now perform the inspiring Olympic Spirit.
Thank you.
Mickey Mouse debuted in the 1928 short cartoon entitled Steamboat Willie. But by the 1930s, Mickey's popularity was eclipsed by other characters. In 1936, Walt Disney felt Mickey Mouse needed a boost in popularity and began to work on The Sorcerer's Apprentice, an elaborate cartoon set to the orchestral piece The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas. Other short cartoons set to classical pieces were animated and combined to make Fantasia. Out of Disney's 56 animated movies to date, Fantasia is the fourth most successful. If ticket prices were the same in 1940 as they are today, Fantasia's box office score would beat The Avengers and all of the Hunger Games and Harry Potter movies. In fact, Fantasia is technically a more successful movie with dinosaurs in it than Jurassic World. The music in the arrangement this afternoon includes Toccata and Fugue in D minor, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, Arabian Dance, and Russian Dance from The Nutcracker, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, Dance of Hours, Dance of the Hours, and Night on Bald Mountain. The band will now play selections from Walt Disney's Fantasia.
Thank you.
Our next piece, All the Pretty Little Horses, is the middle movement to three folk song settings for band, arranged by Andrew Boyson. This piece features intricate percussion, a plaintive flute solo, soaring lines in the brass and woodwinds, as well as singing from members of the ensemble. We hope you enjoy All the Pretty Little Horses.
Thank you.
This next question is just for the children. I'm going to give you a couple of clues about what movie this next song is from, and I want to see if you can figure out the answer. Now, what cartoon movie has a beautiful girl and a beastiful man? You're right, Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast is Disney's 30th animated film and the first to receive an Oscar nomination for Best Picture. One music critic at the time declared that the songs unleash a chemical reaction of happiness. This is Beauty and the Beast.
Thank you.
The next song is from a movie about a bigger beast. Jurassic Park was the 12th project on which composer John Williams worked with director Steven Spielberg. Amazingly, John Williams completed this score in 1 month despite sustaining a back injury, which is really kind of interesting because the last time I hurt my back, I wanted to watch Jurassic Park. This selection, Jurassic Park Soundtrack Highlights, intertwines some of the scarier themes with some of the more recognizable music from the movie. We now present the music of Jurassic Park.
Thank you.
There will now be a 12-minute intermission. There's the refreshments for sale out in the lobby. But before you go, I wanted to mention there's a tuba with a plastic top over here by the door that goes by the name of Tubi. Tubi accepts donations to help the Cupertino Symphonic Band with all of its expenses. There are no restrictions here. Feel free to feed Tubi. Surely, this next piece needs a little explanation. The hugely successful sci-fi Star Wars premiered in 1977 and was followed by two equally popular sequels, The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. The success of the trilogy was due in part to the epic orchestral score composed by John Williams. We play this music in hopes that you will revisit these classic, iconic films and, like many members of the band, look forward to the upcoming installments of the greatest saga ever told. This is the music from Star Wars.
Thank you.
Leroy Anderson was a Harvard graduate, a captain in the U.S. Army during World War II, and eventually served as chief of the Scandinavian Desk of Military Intelligence at the Pentagon. So naturally, he wrote a song about a cat who gets barked at by a dog. Now, if you have a dog, clap for me. Now, if you have a cat, clap for me. Now clap if you have a dog who doesn't like cats. The Waltzing Cat was described by Leroy Anderson as a musical picture of a cat that might be the brother of Puss in Boots dancing the waltz and is interrupted by a barking dog. We hope you enjoy The Waltzing Cat. How many of you play football? How many of you watch football? How many of you have more fun just watching the commercials during the Super Bowl? The theme for Monday Night Football was originally written for the BBC's version of the TV show Superstars in 1973. Superstars brought together athletes from various sports to compete in events outside their specialty. For example, a boxer, an Olympic skier, and a cricket player might meet to compete at swimming, cycling, and weightlifting. ABC then acquired the rights to the theme music titled Heavy Action. and it became the official theme to Monday Night Football in 1989. The band will now play Heavy Action. What do tigers, horses, cats, seals, elephants, and a guy named Randy all have in common? Their sounds were combined to make the voice of Toothless the Dragon in How to Train Your Dragon. How to Train Your Dragon is the story of an outcast Viking boy named Hiccup who builds a prosthetic tail for an injured dragon he names Toothless. However, Toothless is only able to fly with Hiccup riding him and controlling the new tail. And this way, they form an incredible friendship that opens up both of their worlds. The music in the film was written by John Powell and earned him his first Academy Award nomination. Powell uses pulsing Scottish and Irish rhythms and tones. He combines bombastic brass with loud percussion and soothing woodwinds to give you the sense of chaotic dragon fights and peaceful soaring. Thank you. Sir Malcolm Henry Arnold was a 20th century British composer who is known for a wide genre of music, from orchestral pieces to film scores, including the music to the movie The Bridge on the River Kwai, which I know all you kids have seen. According to reviews of the time, a grand, grand festival overture is a preposterous skit on pompous, grandstanding music, and like all good jokes, is craftily written. It is a parody of a serious concert overture featuring a brazen main theme and a delicate contrasting theme. The piece is lovingly dedicated to President Hoover. And the funniest touch is a quiet one. Arnold uses a quartet, which he called the Hoover Quartet, which consists of vacuum cleaners and a floor polisher. The overture continues in by-the-book sonata form until it reaches the coda, where it truly runs amok, hitting on every possible cliché gesture of final cadences. This is a grand, grand festival overture. Clean up on aisle one.
Thank you.
Coming out today, and one more time for the Cupertino Symphonic Band. For the children, over by the door, there's some.